Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to address the subject of suffering, trials, difficulties. Why does God allow suffering? What purpose do trials serve in the lives of God's children? A very common question, a very perplexing question to some. And we have seen in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, a number of items of information relating to trials, such as they are diverse. They come to us from so many different ways, so many different directions, so many different facets of our lives. They are painful. Nobody has said that they're not. The Bible certainly doesn't say that they're not. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. The Bible indicates that these trials are painful, but they are purposeful, and they are temporary. And that's a great encouragement to the people of God. And we read about these things in 1 Peter 1, 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. But now we're going to move into verse 7, which is going to tell us why trials are necessary. It may not tell us the exact reason for a particular trial in our life, that is, what is the reason for this trial among the various reasons that it could be, but it's very helpful to know in a general way why trials are necessary in the lives of God's children, and 1 Peter 1, 7 will give us that valuable information. So, thank you for joining me on this Monday, January 21, and thanks for supporting the Beacon Broadcast financially so that we can teach God's Word on this station. All right, here's the text, 1 Peter 1, 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A number of things there. Let's look at them one by one. Why are trials necessary in the lives of God's children? Number one, to test our faith. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. The genuineness of your faith. And that word genuineness is a word that means tested and proven genuine. It is a word that is often used of refining metal, such as gold, or of testing ore to see if it contains gold. Gold was the most valuable metal in the day in which Paul wrote, and this word would be used of testing the quality and the genuineness of something that appeared to be gold. Gold was valuable because it was durable, and gold was valuable because it had become accepted as the standard of wealth in that day. It was sturdy. Not totally imperishable, but sturdy, unlike other commodities which could more easily be destroyed. But I remind you that gold does perish, and in this sense it does perish, and that is that it perishes when we perish. In other words, the day that I die, whatever I've got in the bank is no longer available to me. I'm gone. And it's gone to me. It has perished to me. My earthly life has perished, and I've gone to be with the Lord, and I don't take anything with me. Somebody said that you never see a hearse hauling a trailer, because you're not going to take anything with you to the grave. And so that's why Peter says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes — gold does perish, and it's not indestructible, even though it's a very durable metal. It's not imperishable. It can be destroyed. It can be melted. It can be lost, particularly to fire. I remember many years ago now, when my wife and I were in another country, and we were touring a beautiful cathedral, but we came to a part that, well, it had been damaged, obviously, and had not been completely restored. And the person who was explaining things to us said there was a fire here, and it melted the gold that was in this area. And I forget now whether it was on the ceiling or just where it was. And much of that gold never was recovered. The fire destroyed it, or it rendered it impossible to recover. I don't know where it went. You'd think they would have been in there scraping that up with nail files or something, but it was gone, and they didn't have enough money to replace it. They were waiting for contributions sufficient to replace it so that they could restore this area of the cathedral, because the gold that was there had perished. So gold does perish. And that's what Peter says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, as fire burns away impurities when you are purifying gold, and that's the way they do it, they heat it up and the impurities are separated from the gold ore, and they're able to scrape away the impurities and thereby render the gold more pure. I've forgotten now what pure gold is. Is it 22, 20, 24 karat gold? I'm told that you really wouldn't want pure gold because it would be too soft, and that's why it's normally mixed with something else, so that you end up with 12-carat, 14-carat gold, something like that, and that's a good hard substance to make a ring out of or whatever. And I'm looking at my ring, my wedding ring on my left hand as I'm talking to you, and I haven't had that wedding ring off in so many years. I don't even know when was the last time I had it off, so I can't even look at it, but I suspect it's probably 14-carat gold. That information is usually printed inside the ring. But pure gold... is too soft, no doubt, to use this way. You can bend it, shape it, use it for things that need something that's malleable, but you don't want that in something that you're going to use every day, like a ring. Because in its purest form, it is more easily destroyed. It is perishable. But again, the fire that the refiner brings to the gold ore is there to separate the dross from the pure metal, to separate the impurities from the gold. And what Peter is telling us is that trials burn away the impurities in the believer's faith, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire — that is your faith, tested by fire in a way similar to what gold is tested by fire. But of course, now we're moving into the realm of analogy and of spiritual application, because we're not talking usually about a literal fire that tests your faith, though it could be. I suppose if a fire burned down your house, that would be a pretty significant test of your faith. Or if you were burned in a fire, badly burned and disfigured in a fire, that would be a pretty serious test of your faith. So it could be literal, but it's much bigger than that, and he's really using that analogy in a figurative sense, though it is literal fire that burns the impurities out of gold ore. It is trials figured by fire that burn away impurities in the believer's faith. You see, our faith is not 24 karat. It's not completely pure. Our faith carries with it a certain degree of impurity. You maybe never thought about it that way, but that's the truth. If it were not so, if your faith were completely pure without any mixture of impurity, it would never fail. It would never grow weak. It would never entertain a doubt. It would never fail to lay hold of the Word of God and apply it faithfully to every situation in your life. But because your faith is not 24 karat faith, it is real faith, just like my 14 karat gold ring is real gold, but it's not 100% gold, and I may not even be using the right karat. Somebody's going to correct me. I may have that wrong about what is pure gold, but I do know my ring, whatever it is, 12 or 14 karat, is not pure gold. It's real gold. The gold content of the ring is real gold, but the whole ring is not gold. And the whole content of my faith is real faith, but it's not without any mixture of doubt, unbelief, misunderstanding, lack of knowledge, unhindered knowledge in the Word of God, lack of complete faith in God in every area. But it is trials that purify our faith, just like fire purifies the gold. And though we will not end up with 100% pure faith this side of eternity, we've got to die and go to heaven to have that kind of faith, it is the trials of life that God uses to strengthen our faith, to make it stronger, to make it better, to make it more pure, to get rid of more and more of the dross. And dross is simply anything that is not true faith. And when we have trials, what emerges is a faith that is more precious than it was before the trial and more durable than it was before the trial. In fact, it comes out a faith that is more precious than gold and more durable than gold. Faith that does not endure the fires of testing is not genuine faith. If you go into the fire of trial and lose your faith in the process, then you never really had faith. What you had was some impurity, some dross that you thought was faith. Maybe it looked like faith. Maybe it was like some cheap jewelry that can be made out of some cheap metal, but coated in such a way that some people might think that it's gold. But if it doesn't survive the trial, the fire of testing, then there was nothing genuine there at all. Testing will bring the genuineness of your faith to the surface and remove the impurities that were there along with it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.